Minister of Lands, Forests, and Natural Resources now joins me this morning. He's in transit going from meeting to meeting, a very busy time as we get set for the election, but he did find some time. Minister Thompson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Phil. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. And I know that you've seen some documents and some of the editorial that has been written about this thing called the zebra mussel. This is a serious threat to our multi-million-dollar tourism industry and our multi-million-dollar boating industry. We've got to do something.
Yeah, Phil, you're right. We recognize the potential threat, and I think we have to talk about it as a potential threat because it's not here. But that they pose to our waterways. We've done a couple of things. One is we've added both of these mussels to our controlled alien species regulation in December. Identified them as a species to manage in our invasive species strategy, and brought in regulations that provide for penalties and things if people knowingly bring them in. But I think the more important part of it is the work that needs to be done with groups like the Okanagan Basin Water Board and others, our Invasive Species Council BC and other local groups in addressing this and looking at the initial focus that's required around education and awareness, and that's why I think it's very important that the work that the Okanagan Basin Water Board is doing in terms of creating those public forums and awareness, because that's really, personal responsibility is going to be a key to addressing this in the short term, and then we have to work with those groups to look at what longer term infrastructure options need to be put in place.
So, but clearly, I've done my own research and have been reading documents and things online, and ultimately, as this thing spreads through Quebec and Ontario and works its way west, which it is sure to do, unless other provinces take a proactive stance, as we're trying to do right at this moment in time, unless some of the states south of us in the United States do something, we almost need a division of the border guards down there in Soyuz. We almost need somebody at the BC-Alberta border that if somebody's pulling a boat trailer, that they need to be pulled off into a separate inspection station and gone over with a fine-tooth comb. That takes power, that takes a federal mandate, and that also takes resources.
Yeah, well, I think that's why important as we go forward on this, Phil, that we do need engagement with the federal government on this, particularly at the border crossings, and that's a particularly important for the Okanagan. It's also important to recognize that this is more than just an Okanagan issue. The Okanagan Basin Water Board has done a lot of good work in terms of research and awareness on it, and are leading the charge. But it is something that is provincial in scope, because it's not just our water systems that have some potential impacts. We need to look at the other water systems, and like the Shuswap, we had a close call up there. Apparently, in 2012, some mussels were found attached to a boat in Shuswap, but luckily, the follow-up monitoring confirmed that those the mussels had not established a presence there. So we're aware of the regulation or the resolutions that are coming forward from local governments, and it is something that we'll be continuing to work with the board and invasive species groups across the province on this, because it is something that has significant potential risk.
Yeah, well, the Central Okanagan Regional District, CORD, passed a resolution a week ago to ultimately go to the local government association. Ultimately, they're hoping to take it to the Union of BC Municipalities. But all that's documentation on paper. All of that is rhetorical. All of that is conversation. I agree with you. The Okanagan Basin Water Board is doing a really good job at this moment in time of raising profile. That's why you and I are even talking at this moment in time. But ultimately, it is. It's going to take serious money and some serious horsepower and border patrol and border initiatives, which is way beyond the ability of the Okanagan Basin Water Board.
Yeah, and the local government's resolutions, that'll be an important part of the process. The UBCM is a respected process in which policy recommendations are brought forward. I expect we'll be receiving resolutions from a number of other local governments as they bring it through their Southern Interior Local Government Association and ultimately on up to the UBCM. But we know that process will continue, but that doesn't we don't need to wait for that process as we engage with the groups and and look at this. We have been engaged already to date on it, working with the board, and then that's why we brought the regulation in last December, and that's why we're working with the invasive species councils on addressing that. That's why we're supporting the education program that they're developing. And as Anna said this morning, you know, education is going to be a very, very key component of this, and public meetings like the ones they're holding and plan on holding others will be an important part of the process, because ultimately it's about making sure that people understand the potential threat and take that responsibility to do that when they're bringing boats back out of the states or from across Canada.
Yeah, no kidding. Listen, in 2 weeks the writ is dropped, and in 2 weeks we switch into a full-on election mode. Clearly, if we weren't in an election cycle, you would be working at your desk in Victoria or working in your local offices, but we wouldn't be otherwise distracted. Does this have any sort of level of priority with you, with your office, with your staff in the bureaucracy, that no matter what's going on with regards to politics, that this continues to be an action item within the Lands, Forests, and Natural Resources Ministry?
Yes, it does, Phil. And just to be clear, even though we're into that pre-election process, it doesn't mean we're not working at the desk in Victoria and in my constituency office. As I said, it feels like we're doing about three jobs right now in terms of constituency and ministry and then preparing for the election process. No, this is something that you know, staff are engaged in. Staff will be participating in the public hearing process or the public information processes and working very cooperatively with the Okanagan Basin Water Board, and we're looking at it from the broader provincial perspective. But it's going to take a combined strategy to address this. And clearly, when you look at the impacts that are identified by the board in the work that they've done, you know, potentially very, very significant. So it's something that we need to keep a priority on, and we're working on. We're part of a partnership agreement with the Columbia Basin Rapid Response Plan, so we get notified on early detection and between the partners. So we're notified whenever zebra mussels or quagga mussels are detected in the Columbia River Basin. So there are you know, communication processes in place, but again, something that is clearly, you know, has very important for our region, for the Okanagan, but has broader provincial concerns.
Mr. Minister, I know that you have another meeting and you have people waiting to speak with you, and so I won't take much more of your time here. This does boil down to ultimately millions of dollars. It will take millions of dollars in investment. It will take millions of dollars of action, but mostly I think we need to be frightened here. And I put this in the context that it's one thing to have the kinds of meetings that the Okanagan Basin Water Board are going to have over the next little while, but people are not by habit going to go to those meetings. There are going to be the few that do. What we really need is a television campaign that presents this zebra mussel as a threat.
As enemy number one.
Yeah, exactly, almost. Because, yeah. Because
well, we don't want to be, I think we have to be careful, Phil. We don't want to be alarmist here, and Anna said that this morning too. We need to look at this in a considered response, and to make sure that we do need to be fully aware, and we do need to be educated, and we do need to engage all parties at all levels, and that includes the local governments and who are obviously very interested in this and very concerned, includes the province and the federal government, includes our invasive plant organizations, invasive species organizations that we, you know, support across the province, not just dealing with this particular invasive species, but many others. So so it is it's going to take a coordinated approach, and as we said, it is a priority work within our ministry as we consider this going forward.
Well, you know, when I think of the program to keep the coddling moth out of the valley, or at least keep it under control and very carefully monitor, and I think of the millions upon millions of dollars, and you're well aware of that, of the millions of dollars that have gone into the coddling moth program, this is almost a mirror image, just in the water instead of in the orchards.
Well, it just when you look at the science of these mussels and how they can multiply and expand if they get a foothold is pretty significant. So so we do need to take it very seriously, and I think again the work that's being done, the research work, the awareness, the education campaign is we're going to continue to focus on that, and then we need to engage all parties in looking at a long term response to this. It's a potential threat. It's not here, and we don't want it to for sure. We don't want it to be here. So we do need to make sure that we create that awareness, build the individual responsibility, have the regulations in place that allow us to effectively deal with it, and we're going to have to address in the longer term resources that may be needed, and I think that's, you know, in terms of dollars and everything at this point, it's sort of, you know, speculation as to exactly how much, you know, what will be needed and things like that until we really see what you know, how the infrastructure might work, how the what role and responsibility it might be taken at border crossings particularly. So it is something to work on for sure.
Mr. Minister, I know you shuffled your program and your agenda for the day so you could do this. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks. Anytime, Phil.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Steve Thompson, who's the Minister of Lands, Forests and Natural Resources, he had this part of his day already.